Hi, this is Pastor Tamara Kraft from Revival Fire for Kids with an Ignite Kidmen podcast. If you want your students to experience revival and the glory of God and become radical followers of Jesus, this is the podcast for you. Join us today as we start the journey, and I'll let you in on my story and experiences in Kidmen. Hold on tight. You never know what the Holy Spirit is planning. Hi, we're back. Today we have a very special guest that I've known for quite a while. His name is Eric Stevens, and I've known him for quite a while, and he's been a children's pastor for a while. And today we're going to talk about a topic that I know quite a bit about, and I'm sure he does too, about longevity in children's ministry. As you all know, children's pastors usually end up being in the position maybe 1 or 2 years before quitting for whatever reasons. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and how we can have longevity in children's ministry. So Eric, why don't you tell a little bit about yourself and what position you're in now, what church, and how you came to be a children's pastor.
Absolutely. And we certainly have known each other quite a long time. You know, as I moved into that dormitory freshman year at Lee University, and just so happens to share a ensuite with your son, Jonathan. And so that's like the first time we met was the spring of 1999. And saying that out loud makes me feel so much older. But
well, Jonathan, nevertheless, my son, so definitely feel old.
Right. Oh, well, so I am currently on staff at International Community Church located in Frederick, Maryland. It's about 40 miles in between both Washington, D.C. and Baltimore, Maryland. Been there for going on 3.5 years now. And this is our second time on staff at the church in this same position. It's changed a little bit over the years, just as far as areas of responsibility. But yeah, I just started my 26th year of full-time ministry to children and families.
Wow, now I really feel old. I started in 1986. So
wow.
Been for a while.
1986. Wow, I was still coloring in coloring books back then.
Yes, my kids were little then. Jonathan and Monica were very small then. So Jonathan was in my first children's church.
Wow.
But
he got a taste of what our kids get to experience now.
That's right. But over the years, longevity has really shown me what benefit children's ministry has had over the years. For instance, there have been people in my children's church that have grown up to become children's pastors and senior pastors. There's one guy who wrote a top-selling Christian song. There's evangelists, worship leaders, all who grew up in my children's churches over the years. And there's a different perspective seeing generation after generation after generation come through than these children's pastors who quit after a year or two don't see. Have you found that in your own ministry?
Oh, absolutely. I agree. I think that the trend of seeing people who are called to children's ministry entering into a season where they're serving in that capacity are either, I think, underprepared for what awaits them as that role begins to pull out of us some things that we didn't realize that we would have to be prepared for. There are a lot of sacrifices that come along with serving in children's ministry that I don't think a lot of young ministers especially are equipped or prepared to offer as a sacrifice. So when we see children, though, year in and year out, not only as they grow, we get to celebrate those milestones that they achieve, not just in life, but in their faith journey, in their relationship with Christ. And it's a beautiful thing when you do have a child in your children's ministry, you watch them and they eventually go off into student ministry, youth ministry, going off to college, graduating and starting their own families. It's a beautiful thing to witness. And I think coming back to International Community Church after about a 12-year gap or absence, we were there for 4 years the first time around, and seeing all of these kiddos that were a part of our children's church back then remember us and coming back up to us, and now they're wanting to serve, alongside in children's ministry, or they have other ministries that they're a part of that they, want to just bring to your attention and have you speak into them, regarding those things. It's an incredible thing, and it's a totally different experience. And so I think the rewards that come with that commitment, that longevity, that willingness to stay and serve in that role for a longer period of time, I just think that there aren't enough positive stories and testimonies coming from children's pastors who have served for decades in this ministry.
I agree. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey being a children's pastor and the beginning, and maybe how you overcame some of the obstacles that get other people to give up on it too soon?
Well, absolutely. I was first, of course, introduced to Christ as a child, growing up in a Church of God family, right? My grandparents were Church of God pastors, and my mother taught children's Sunday school classes and was a part of teaching in children's church, and so that was a part of my early years. But when I was about 13, 14, our youth pastor at the time really just kind of invested in me and his wife. Their names were Brian and Beverly Weeble. They pastor a church now in Maryville, Tennessee, I believe. But she really just kind of took me under her wing. She did children's church, and she asked me to come alongside, and she would give me the little curriculum booklets, and have me do an object lesson 1 week, or dress up in a funny costume and be a character another week. And eventually we as I became more adept at it, she would entrust with me larger portions of it, other than just passing out the candy at the end, or walking the kids to the restroom and stuff like that. But eventually, when they would be out of town, she would entrust me with the entire children's church service, and that continued through my time, in junior high and high school. Then when I went to Lee, I traveled with a couple of the musical groups there with the Lee Singers, and then later on campus choir. And during that time, I wasn't involved every Sunday in children's ministry, but whenever I would go home, I would still be pulled in some capacity to serve and work in those arenas, and always had a heart for that, and would always be a part of missions trips during the summertime, where we would travel and take our puppet team, and we would go to places like the Church of God Home for Children in North Carolina, and there in Sevierville, Tennessee. And then, of course, we would also go to other churches and have little VBSs or kids' crusades. And, those kind of things that were always a highlight for me of the summer. And I really knew that God had called me to ministry as a teenager, but I wasn't sure where. I didn't necessarily feel a specific call to children's ministry, but I just knew God wanted me to preach the gospel in some form. And so I thought it was evangelism. Later on at a Winterfest service, I really felt like it was youth ministry. So that's what I studied at Lee, was youth ministry, and graduated with a degree in youth ministry. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to be a youth pastor, until I stepped into my first youth pastor's role and realized it came with a bonus of children's ministry. So it was both. And so I found myself teaching teenagers on Wednesdays, and a Sunday school class on Sunday morning, and then I would do children's church on Sunday during the worship service time. And so those things were just a part of that experience. And then later, when I realized, okay, God, this is a lot to try to take on, doing both of these, youth and children. I was like, if you wanted me to specifically just serve in one role, then I started praying for an opportunity, and it didn't take long until a full-time children's ministry role presented itself. And so, I set out. I was engaged to my wife at the time, and we tried to do the long distance thing for a little while because she was finishing up her schooling and had just gotten a good job, was teaching a school there in Cleveland, Tennessee. And so I was commuting back and forth quite a bit, on my days off to see her. But eventually, when we did get married, that's when our path really settled into the groove of children's ministry, pretty exclusively. And so we began to serve in children's ministry, and that moved us, of course, a couple of times. We first went to where we are now in Frederick, Maryland, at what was then known as Maranatha Community Church of God. Changed its name to International Community Church while we were there. But we enjoyed our time there very, very much. And we are grateful for all that God did. We saw our children's ministry begin to thrive and grow within our community. And then, the church was a fairly good sized church. I think we were running close to, 170, 180 kids on a Sunday between two services. And, we really had a blast with our children's ministry team. Just built a strong relationship with the team members that we had in place at that time, and the team began to really come together. And we were doing all the things that I had grown up doing: puppets and costume characters and object lessons and gospel illusions and things of that nature. Anything that we could think of to just present the gospel in a way that would really capture the children's hearts and minds and usher them into an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And ultimately, I don't think our children's ministry would have thrived and succeeded like it did if it weren't for all the components and people that God pulled in to be a part of it. But after the success we had there, we had the opportunity to move back to Cleveland, which is always seems like a return spot for a lot of us, as we just always go back to Cleveland. But we had the opportunity to serve at the South Cleveland Church of God with Pastor Chris Moody when he was the lead pastor there, and we enjoyed a few years there. And then after that, we of course decided to go where we could get some sunshine near the beach, and we moved to Jacksonville, Florida, where we had the tremendous pleasure of serving with Pastor John Morgan. Was Regency Church then. I believe it's Restoration Church now. And that was just a very special time for us and for our family. We had just welcomed our fourth child, and so she learned to walk right there on the beaches of Jacksonville Beach, and we have pictures of her in a little bumbo seat right there, building, playing with sand toys and all that stuff. And so we enjoyed several years there in Jacksonville. We stayed in Florida. And during that time, I had the great privileges of getting to serve our denomination in a few different capacities on the state level and in the international level, serving on the CLA board that helps, of course, to concentrate and create events and things like the Focus Children's Pastors Conference and Kid Fest and things like that. Working with Tony Lane, who was just an incredible voice that spoke into my life and that poured into me. So grateful for his leadership regarding children's ministry within our denomination for so long. But nevertheless, after a little bit of time in Jacksonville, we just hopped across the state, staying in Florida over near the Tampa area in Clearwater, in Largo, Florida, where we served at Abundant Life Ministries for a few years. And then it's amazing how life tests us. I'll tell you, we experienced a hurricane that pretty much upended our whole world. Houston was flooded. Houston, Texas was flooded really, really badly by Hurricane Harvey, and then right on the tail end of that was Hurricane Irma that basically encompassed the whole state of Florida. There was a mandatory evacuation. We found ourselves having to flee the state as well as everybody in Florida that would. And after about 2 weeks, we returned home just to find that there were parts of our roof that had caved in, and the house had kind of been flooded, and it's basically uninhabitable. And so there was a period of time where we began to wrestle conversations with our pastor at the time, and I really felt like, perhaps maybe God was getting us ready to step outside of children's ministry for the first time. And I wasn't sure what to make of that, because that's basically all that I really felt equipped for at that point. I was like, that's where my passion is children's ministry and their families. But we did begin to explore, and before long we were presented with an opportunity to move to Texas, in South Texas, in the Houston area. Of course, Texas is basically home for my wife and I. We were both originally from Texas, and so it was sort of a homecoming for us. We got to live near our relatives for a time, and it was wonderful as I served as an associate pastor. But before long, there was a change on our staff, and there was an opening for children's ministry. And I was asked by the lead pastor if I wouldn't mind covering that for a time and for a season while they interviewed other children's pastors. And he had me go ahead and coordinate and do the vacation Bible school, which of course we did. We called it VBX, Vacation Bible Experience. We started doing some really big things, and next thing we knew, it just kind of sparked some things within the church. And before long, I was asked if I wouldn't mind just permanently taking care of that department once more. And so, no matter how I tried to step out of it, God had other plans. So I was back in children's ministry and really felt reinvigorated by it. And we enjoyed our time there. We stayed in Texas for 4.5, almost 5 years. And then, of course, the pandemic of COVID hit. Our church shut its doors. We were financially in a position where the church couldn't sustain staff members, and they had to make the real difficult decision to ask us all to work on a volunteer basis, as they could no longer pay our salaries. And so, it was an interesting time, to be sure. I was going to become bivocational for the first time, and so I tried to make use of that pandemic by getting employment as a financial advisor with Edward Jones, an investment firm, of course. And so I studied and got my licensures to become a stockbroker and a financial advisor and an insurance agent. And so I worked in that capacity and started building up a practice, a book of clients. And all the while, my heart was aching. It was missing the community of faith. It was missing being in person and in church. And everyone was doing the online streaming thing. And so, I was trying to do some online services for kids and little devotionals. I think we were all kind of scrambling to try to find ways to still minister and invest and pour into those that God had entrusted into our care. And as I was finishing my work day, one day I got a phone call out of the blue from the church here in Frederick, Maryland. And they just said, "Hey, I know that you're, in the middle of the pandemic, and you're probably wondering, what God is doing. And we think maybe he's asking you to consider moving back to Frederick, Maryland and
Wow.
coming and do kids ministry here once more." And so at that point, I wasn't too interested in another transition. I was settling in. I had a new business going for me. The family was doing well, but I said, I'll pray about it. And that's where I committed to the Lord God, if this is your will, not mine, but yours be done. We came up to interview, and before we even boarded the plane on the way back home, my wife was like, "Yeah, pretty sure we're moving back here, aren't we?"
A
So here
great
we are. Yep.
circle. I know you had an advantage that I didn't have early on, where you said that you were mentored in children's ministry as a teenager, and then you got training at Lee. To tell the truth, I didn't even know I was being called into children's ministry until I was in the middle of it. I was asked shortly after starting a new church, I was asked if I would become the children's pastor. And I said, "Well, sure, until you find someone else." And
Right.
I remember I was also teaching adult Sunday school, and I was going back and forth, what is God calling me to do? Because I knew there was some call on my life, and I wasn't sure which it was. And then I went to a children's conference where Jack Bentley was teaching
Oh, wow. Yes.
long time ago.
Yeah.
And when Jack Bentley said children can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, they can minister in the gifts of the Spirit, they can be a part of the body of Christ, it was like God was dropping it in my spirit.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew I was called to be a children's pastor, but I didn't have the advantage of being mentored. My mentoring consists of God, what do you want me to do now? And then I do it. And then God, what do you want me to do now? And then I do it. But do you think that mentoring really helped you with your longevity of children's ministry, where I only made it through, I think, because God put such a strong call on my life and such a vision in my spirit. But was that mentoring helpful in the when it came to longevity in children's ministry?
There's no doubt in my mind that it was not only a benefit, but I think that it was necessary step for me just to be open to the simple fact that maybe God is calling me into ministry. There was a little bit of a resistance on my part, just because I grew up in a pastor's home. I lost my parents early aged in life. I was 12 when my mother passed, and so my grandparents took me in. And I was kind of thrust into their whole world. Was church, it was ministry, pastored their whole life, and that was basically the whole world revolved around ministry and the church. And so the last thing I thought I wanted to do was follow in their footsteps, right, and continue that. As a teenager, or early teenage, 13, 14, I really thought that music is where my passions were. And I grew up and was privileged to be able to learn a couple of musical instruments and was a part of music programs at school. So I kind of thought my pursuit would be that. At one point I thought I would be a professional saxophone player, like Kenny G or Stan Getz or somebody that was well known for those kind of things. And so sure enough, as I began to serve and help in those different capacities, I didn't think that it was preparation for ministry in the future. I didn't know those nuggets that were being deposited into me at the time were setting me up for what God had in store. I just was going with the flow. I just thought everybody must be, getting these kind of opportunities. But then I realized they're not asking everybody from the youth group to come in and do these things. They're not asking just anyone to come and help with these kids. I don't know if it was something that I developed early on, but I just had a very empathetic and appreciative position when it came to children and kids. Always had patience where others may not have as much patience with children and little ones, and that's okay. There's folks out there like that, but that mentoring was depositing things in me that I wouldn't realize would come to fruition until years later down the road. And so, I had that mentorship, those voices speaking into to my life, both from our youth pastors, but also from my own parents. It was a regular occurrence. When you grow up in a pastor's home, you get to see the other parts of ministry that others don't. You get to see going in with a toolbox and fixing some of the plumbing issues in the restrooms, or you get to be there the late night beforehand and fill up the baptistry with the water, and you get to sweep the gym floor and get out the mop, and you get to do all those things. And I think every single moment of that was preparation. It was mentorship. And I think those people who don't necessarily get to experience that when they step into that prime role of children's pastor, they don't realize how very much it is going to require of them.
I agree. And there were times when I felt at the beginning isolated, like nobody understood and nobody really saw what I did, that they somehow thought I was babysitting. And I didn't know all the challenges I would face early on when I started in children's ministry, since I had had no experience in children's ministry. I had mentoring when I was a teenager, but it was a different kind of mentoring. I was not raised in a Christian home When I was 13, I rode the church bus to a church in Ravenna, Ohio. And that church was a part of the Jesus Revolution revival that was sweeping the nation in the ni early 1970s. I didn't realize
Yeah.
the revival at the time because I didn't really understand Christianity and what most churches were like. But I was saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I eventually ended up on the youth board, and we studied the Bible. I mean, we really went deep into Bible study. We had, if you were on the youth board, you had to go extra nights just for Bible study that the other students didn't have. And it was such a special time. Our church, there were so many drug addicts that came in and got saved and put their drugs on the altar that the pastor had a special relationship with the police department to turn in the drugs.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And when I was baptized in water, about a year after I got saved, I got baptized in water. There were 40 other teenagers that got baptized that same day because so many people had been saved, and they had baptisms every month or two. So
Sure, yeah.
it was a
Wow.
different
Incredible.
experience completely, but I wasn't mentored in a particular ministry, and I was not raised in a Christian home, so I didn't have that experience. But I did have the experience of being in the presence of God. And I think that's what kept me going when things were very tough. And I can't
Yeah,
say
absolutely.
enough about connecting with other children's pastors. Before the Focus Conference, the Focus Children's Conference that the Church of God holds was the Focus Conference. It was a group of children's pastors who decided to have a conference, and Lance Kolkmeyer headed it. And you remember Lance, don't you?
Oh, very well. I love Lance. Lance was the children's pastor at South Cleveland prior to my arrival, and luckily he stayed on board there. He's a constant voice there, but he is a champion for children's ministry in general. And I can't tell you just the wealth of knowledge there, but also his heart for kids through Royal Family Kids camps and those kind of ministries. And of course, he travels all over the world helping to equip and train up ministers to children. And man, he is a giant among men in my eyes. I love Lance Kolkmeyer
I
so much.
agree. And when he and a group of children's pastors had that first conference, that was about 2 years into me being a children's pastor, and I went to the conference, and it really opened my eyes. I made connections with other children's pastors. It really helped. And that's one thing I recommend for longevity in children's ministry. Don't try to do it alone. Connect with other children's pastors. It's so
Oh,
important.
absolutely.
And the connection with
Yeah, it's
and me
essential.
even got me to the point where I was writing and publishing curriculum, because the first curriculum that was ever published that I wrote was Lance helped me with it, and it was Kid Connection 5. He was writing curriculum.
Ah,
Kid Connection 5, he and I wrote together. So.
I think I have that whole set. Yes, I forgot that you helped write that. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Wow.
I kind of wrote it and he filled in the blanks that I wasn't sh that I didn't know what to do, because it was my first
Yes.
curriculum. And he was
Oh.
such a great mentor when it came to that. So, yeah, wonderful guy. But I think connections with other children's pastors are also very important to longevity in children's ministry. And you mentioned something else too. Not everybody has the patience or the empathy for children. I truly believe that there is a special anointing for children's pastors. I mean, I'm sure
Yes.
you probably see this as well as I do. My husband's always bringing it up to me. When I'm in a restaurant and there's children in the restaurant, they're kind of drawn to me. Even if
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
not looking at them, they're staring at me,
You know, I have that mental image. You remember it's a classic Christmas movie, The Santa Claus with Tim Allen. There's a
Oh,
scene
yes.
where he's at his son's soccer game. just sitting there trying to watch the soccer game, and the little girl comes and wants to sit on his lap and tell him what she wants for Christmas.
And then there's
And
a
then
long
it
line of
cuts
children.
away. Yeah, then there's a long line of them. And so, yeah, I understand that completely, because I have those same moments when you're out. It doesn't have to necessarily be a child that you are familiar with that's in your children's ministry. It could be anywhere. You could be on vacation somewhere and just be around kids, and you'll see them, and you'll, like, smile at them or say hello to them,
Exactly.
and it'll catch them off guard. Or next thing you know, they're coming up to you and wanting to carry on conversations. And of course, you have to let people know, hey, I'm a children's pastor. I'm not just some strange
Right.
adult person trying to have a conversation with the child. But you're absolutely right. I do think that God gifts a special anointing, a special calling on those to reach, of course, the most vulnerable of populations. And I think children not only are precious in his sight, as we're taught early on singing those songs, right? That Jesus loves the little children of the world. But I
Yes.
think that because he loves them so much, and because they are so vulnerable, they are so trusting, they are the enemy sees them as easy targets. And so when you accept the calling as a children's pastor, you need that special anointing, because you become a shield of sorts. And so you have to expect that spiritual warfare is coming your way. And I think that's why so many children's pastors deal with that feeling, like you had alluded to earlier, of isolation, feeling alone, feeling like you're in this all by yourself, because you are seemingly, cut off from the rest of the faith community. You're not a part of all of the adult worship experiences. You're not a part of, I mean, you're doing things, and if they don't step in and see the spiritual ramifications of what you're doing, they can dismiss what we do as simply a child's care, a provision that they are given, just drop their kids off and they're just babysitting. But that's not at all what children's ministry is. And so I do think that, unfortunately, some people new to children's ministry feel that isolation. And leading right back to this, I think the networking component that you were talking about, building a whole circle of friendships and relationships with those who are also in the trenches of children's ministry, is vital, because nobody can quite lift you up and encourage you like somebody who's going through the same thing that you are, or who has just gone through it and has now, experienced a victory of sorts within the, context of children's ministry. And that's definitely been valuable for me. And Focus Conference was a huge part of that early on, attending and just getting to meet other children's pastors from all over. And now, with technology the way it is, we can keep in touch with everybody. A few little keyboard taps on a text message, or a quick email, or a phone call, which I still love those very much. But it was those friends for me in children's ministry that were not only an inspiration and a help, but oftentimes would be the phone call that I would place when I needed somebody to pray with me about something. Or, it's also given me the opportunity to pour back into them, another adult, who needs that
Absolutely.
same encouragement. Yeah.
And I think that people get the impression that children's ministry is low on the totem pole. There are so many people going to children's ministry thinking, well, I'll just do it until I can be promoted higher. I can be the youth pastor, or I can be the associate pastor, or the senior pastor, or the music minister. When, in my view, and I believe it's in God's view too, that is a demotion, not a promotion. As far as God's economy, the first shall be last. The children's ministry is the most important. Between the ages of 4 and 14, 85% of all Christians were saved. And that's a staggering statistic. If a
Oh,
church
yes.
be evangelistic, they need to minister to children first.
Absolutely. I think children's ministry is a foundational piece of any church that is going to experience health, vitality, growth, Without a solid children's ministry, you do see churches that are aging and they're quote unquote dying off because they haven't poured into the generation that's coming up behind them. And it's a sad thing to step into a church. And unfortunately, I've encountered that a time or two where I've stepped into a small church somewhere, and it doesn't take long to do a quick inventory. And you can kind of get a ballpark average age of those who are in attendance and realize, wow, I'm the youngest person in this room, and I'm no spring chicken anymore. So this is not how God desired for his church to look. I think family is at the epicenter of his heart. And so we have to minister to the whole family, and that includes the littlest ones. Even Jesus stopped and chastised the disciples when they tried to shoo or hush the little children up. And he was like, hold on now, wait just a minute. Let them come. This is essential. And he says, if you don't have the faith, if you can't receive this message with the faith like any of these children, then man, you're going to miss the boat. You're not going to be able. And so I think that's why that statistic is so remarkable, that most come to the salvation experience and accepting Christ as a child. It's just, I think it's when our hearts and our minds are the most open to receive, and maybe that's when our faith is the most active.
I agree. And I really believe
Yeah.
that those who are saved as adults, which my husband was saved as an adult, they are the real miracles. It's more common to be saved as a child, much more common.
Yeah.
Not only that, but I think another problem that some children's pastors have is they work too hard teaching children values and Bible stories and behavior modification, and forget the fact that it's all about our relationship with Christ, even at the youngest age. Not that those things don't have value, but they have to
Right.
be meshed with that relationship with Jesus Christ, or they mean nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think that there are those temptations and obstacles that we have to overcome in children's ministry, because it's not just about showing the kids a great time. I mean, we want them to enjoy when they come into our children's ministries,
Of course.
but the every single one of those opportunities is, an opportunity to invest and pour into and teach and disciple them in their relationship with Christ. It's not just about, okay, great, you learned that memory verse, that's great, but now what does that verse mean? Like, why is it important to learn that memory verse? It's not just so you can get a prize from the prize store or a piece of candy. Like, there's a reason that we want you to commit this to memory. Let's talk about that. Let's dive into that. Let the children learn what it means to pray. Don't always be the person on stage that has to lead the prayer over everybody. Let the kids learn what it means to pray, and let them start praying. You'll be amazed at the things that they will begin to say and that they'll be speaking out from when they go to the Lord in prayer. We joke, I think, as children's pastors or as adults even, about the prayer requests of children when they pray for their pets who are sick, or the lost item that they can't find, or it's a funny moment for us, right? Oh, it's cute. You want to pray for your stuffed animal that you can't find. I understand, but those things really matter to them, and that's what we want them to take to the Lord, is the things that matter the most, and have that relationship with God where you can have those conversations with Him, because He is your heavenly Father. He cares about everything. Every single hair on your head is important. So I think you're right. I think we've got to, as children's pastors, understand that we're not just called to fill in that hour to 2 hour time frame on a Sunday of a child's week, but we are to help steer them and teach them how to draw closer to God. And that's at the very essence of what we're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Well, Eric, it was really great talking with you again. I enjoyed catching up with you at the Focus Conference when we were there, and I really Pray blessings on your children's ministry that those children will even grow closer to Christ than they've ever been before, and that the Holy Spirit will fill them and overflow. And I really want to thank you for coming on here today, and maybe we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, no, thank you. The pleasure was all mine. It was great to catch up with you and your hubby at the Focus Conference. I mean, you guys are just precious people, and you have a special place in my heart. And I do want to thank you. I know I just had a name drawing encounter, but I was able to receive one of your curriculums, and we're getting ready to roll that out at the beginning of next month on our Wednesday night discipleship small groups. We've kind of disseminated that to our other small group leaders. And I want to thank you for that because I'm really excited to see that growth in our children's ministry. I want to see our kids just really have a hunger for the Holy Spirit and be on fire for God. And so thank you for your investment in myself and all those children's pastors like me who, your resources have definitely helped.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And make sure you come back next time and we'll have a talk with another great children's pastor. Bye. If you enjoyed this Ignite Kidman podcast, subscribe and click the bell or notification button. If you would like more resources and curriculum for your children's ministry or would like to schedule an event, check out revivalfireforkids.com. Consider becoming a patron and receive monthly Zoom calls, online support, and children's ministry resources at revivalfireforkids.com/ignite. Until next time.